I have a message on my heart called I Will Not Die But Live. I Will Not Die But Live. Ezekiel chapter 37, if you turn there with me. Now, Father, I thank you, God, with all my heart for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, for your kingdom grows not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you can speak deeper to every heart, God, than any of us standing in this pulpit can ever produce in our own strength or wisdom. God, you are able, Lord, to go into the deepest recesses of the human heart and to bring life where there's only death, and hope where there's only despair, power where there's nothing but weakness. It's you, Lord. It all belongs to you. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome in this sanctuary. You are welcome in our lives. You are welcome to do the work that you came to do. And we invite you to do that work, Lord. We're not looking for you to agree with our way of doing things. We are looking for ourselves to agree with your way of advancing the kingdom of God within every one of our hearts. Lord, override my frailty. God Almighty, overshadow me. And Lord, speak through me just as a human vessel. Help me to disappear, Lord, that your voice alone might be heard, that you alone might be loved, seen, and appreciated. God Almighty, we love you this morning. We thank you that you are speaking to us at this time. Lord, let our hearts be open to it. In Jesus' name, amen. I will not die, but live. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let that be your testimony this morning before we even start. I will not die, but live. I'm not going down, I'm going up by the grace of Almighty God. By the grace of Almighty God. The hand of the Lord came upon me, chapter 37, verse 1, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Now, in this prophetic message to the nation of Israel, we see a pattern of God's restorative power towards his own people when they feel that they've lost touch with him and they failed him. Remember, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we study the scriptures, we see how God deals with his people, especially when his people find themselves in a condition like his people of that time were. They had lost touch with God's intended purpose for them while they were on the earth. They forgot that they were to be blessed by him and live lives that would be a song and a testimony of praise to him and bring glory to his name throughout the earth. But they forgot their purpose and they were deviated from it. And in that deviation, they ended up dry. They said, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. And we ourselves are cut off. In other words, we don't know how to get back to God. We've lost touch with him. We're dry. I spoke at a pastor's conference just a little while ago, and the speaker that introduced me said to me, come and speak to us. We are dry. We have lost our confidence, and our joy is almost gone. And it reminded me of this passage of scripture. Our bones are dry. We got diverted from our calling and our hope is lost and we ourselves are cut off. Now, Ezekiel early on in chapter 8 shows us some of the reasons why this loss of heart and hope had come to the people of God. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse, I believe it's 5, tells us that they'd set up an image which seemingly had provoked even God himself to jealousy. It says, then he said to me, son of man, lift up your eyes now towards the north. So I lifted my eyes towards the north, and there in the altar gate was this image of jealousy in the entrance. This image of jealousy. Now listen to what Paul the apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. He says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And as Paul warned the Corinthian church, because the Corinthians had allowed self-focus. They had never gotten away from the trap of self. And the trap of self-focus and everything in the Christian life being about themselves had produced a selfishness in their local assemblies where they were meeting based on ethnicity and wealth and status, and they were pushing the poor to the sides of the temple as it was, and they were sumptuously sharing their meals or eating their food and not even concerned about those who had less provision among them. And of course, to satisfy that pursuit of self, there has to be an image of Christ that goes with it. And that's what Paul was warning about. If you don't get this self-focus out of your heart, people are going to arise and they're going to create another Christ that's going to accommodate your pursuits as it is. And we're living in a generation like that. America is suffering because in God's house, many have arisen and have preached another Christ to this generation. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's a Jesus that has another image. And in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 5, it says it was an image which appeared to, and there's a lot of conjecture when you study it as to what that image really was, but obviously the first person that most likely was offended is God himself, because this image of himself had been erected in the temple, which did not conform to who he was and to what his purpose was on the earth. Again, if we go on in Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 10 and 12, it says, so I went in and I saw and every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed on its walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense, which is a type of worship, went up. Then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, the Lord does not see us, and the Lord has forsaken the land. And God took this prophet Ezekiel deeper and deeper into the system of worship and religion that had established itself in that particular time, and he took him behind all the facades and everything else that had been crafted to make it look like it was still sincere, it was still God-oriented, it was still honoring God in the earth, and he saw these people who should have known better. They They had been there the longest and they were pretending to be devoted. That's what the incense cloud. We're pretending to worship. And to the natural eye, it probably looked very sincere and very devoted. But inside the minds of the people, they were far away from the intended purpose of God for their lives. And their thoughts were on everything but what they should have been focusing on. They should have come into the house of the Lord and say, God, I thank you that you've chosen me among the other people to glorify you in the earth. I thank you that the promise that you made to our father Abraham is that you would bless us so powerfully, so mightily, that our lives, including mine, would become a blessing to people everywhere I go. And instead of that, there were all these images in the minds of those who maybe had been there the longest. It's like coming to church this morning and such beautiful worship, and you got your hands raised and you're thinking, I wonder how my 401k is doing. That's exactly what he saw. That's what Ezekiel saw. God said, let me show you what the people are really thinking. Let me show you what's really on their minds. Let me show you what their focus of their worship really is. You know, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. We can't pretend to be devoted to God in the house of God. In Ezekiel again, he goes on a little farther, and it's in chapter 8 and verse 14, there was people weeping in the house. And again, to the natural eye, it would look sincere, wouldn't it? If you walked in and you saw the 70 elders with their censers in their hand and the incense of prayer going up, and over on this side, there's other people that are weeping. But in reality, they weren't weeping for the lost. They were weeping for their own needs. They were weeping for perceived losses, perceived future losses in their own lives. Because when the focus is all on self, we will weep, but for the wrong reason, even in the house of God. And we go on again to verse 16. And he says, he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east. And they were worshiping the sun towards the east. And here he brings them even deeper into the temple, and he shows them those that are perhaps closest or in closest proximity to the altar of God. And they'd lost purpose, and they were worshiping false visions of their own hearts and offering the people a false hope of a better tomorrow. They weren't even looking to God. They were looking to nature, realistically. They were looking in the opposite direction to where God was, and they were saying the opposite things to what God was speaking. That's not even debatable. You study this whole book, and you'll see it there very, very clearly. They were offering peace when there was no peace. They were talking about a better tomorrow when tomorrow was going to be a day of darkness and captivity for the people of that time. And then in verse 17, he says, God says to Ezekiel, because of all this, evil now is unrestrained, and they have filled the land with violence. That's quite an indictment against the house of God. Instead of being a blessing to the nation, the land is now filled with violence because the worship of God has become so corrupted in the house of God. And folks, listen to me. With churches on every corner in this nation, there is no excuse for our society being the way it is today. If the glory of God was in the house of God, if the Bible was being preached the way it's written, if the real Jesus was being proclaimed to the people, if our focus was on prayer, if our focus was on the salvation of the nation, if our focus was on reaching the lost at any cost, I dare say this nation would not be in the condition it's in today. All the people would be so offended if God himself stood in that particular temple with all its images on the walls and all its pretended worship and its leaders with their backs to the altar of God, professing words that didn't come from the heart of God. They'd be so offended if somebody stood there and said, it's because of you that the land is filled with violence. is because of God's house losing its focus in this nation that our colleges now have become hotbeds of radicalization even against this nation. God help us. God help us. Immorality is abounding. Our streets are turning into things that they ought not to be. But thank God. Thank God. The Lord comes to put an end to this. And it's mercy that causes him to do it. In Ezekiel chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, listen to what the Lord says. Then your altars shall be desolate. Your incense altars will be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. I shared it a couple of weeks ago from this pulpit. With 2,500,000 people in America being buried every day, we now have 10,400 churches closing every year in America. 200 churches a week are now closing their doors. You have to know that perhaps God's hand is at work in some of this. I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols. I will scatter your bones all around your altars. Remember Ezekiel 37. These bones were in a valley, but they were scattered around their altars. That's where they died. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. God, in his mercy, says, I'm going to take this whole system of religion, I'm going to scatter your bones all around your altars. I'm going to take away the sense of well-being. I'm going to take away your hope for the future. I'm going to produce a sense of lostness among my own people, in my own house, and among those who minister to them. Your joy is going to be gone. Your confidence is going to be taken away. And by the grace of Almighty God, you're going to know that you have become far less than what God in Christ Jesus has called you to be. And so it's in this context that we now come to our day and Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Oh, folks, listen to me carefully now. Yes, last Sunday, we probably had one of the biggest altar calls for salvation that I've ever seen in the history of this church, all the way down to the back of the church. People stepping out to give their lives to Christ. It happens at 3 o'clock as well. Happens every Sunday night at 6. But I look down from this place where I stand, and I see people that are so far back in their understanding of God. So weak. I shake hands with people at the door on Sunday night, and I feel the desperation of many who are coming in here on fumes to say, oh God, please help me. Oh God, help me just to get through the next few days. They're not looking for any long-term victory. They're just looking to get through without losing complete heart and complete hope. And I find myself in the place where Ezekiel was. Can these bones live? Can they live? Can they get beyond just being a historical testimony? Can they get to a place where they make a difference in this generation? Can the weak still be made strong? Can the dead still live? Can those who are behind doors of captivity still get free? Can the giftings of the Holy Spirit still be given? Can we still become a voice and a testimony in the nation? And I find God speaking to my heart, not just about this church, but about the church age we're now living in. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel responds and says, God, you know, because you have set the plan in motion in the first place. It was not unbelief coming out of Ezekiel's mouth. He's saying, God, the times and the seasons, Lord, are in your hands. And you know what you have determined to do. But I know that Ezekiel must have had a cry in his heart. Oh, God, for the sake of the people. Jesus, for the people that you died for. for the sake, oh God, of the people who are showing up looking for help and looking for hope and looking for strength and looking for a future. Oh God, for their sakes, come to them and visit them again. Visit this vine, oh God, that has been produced in the earth by your hand. Lift us, oh Jesus Christ, out of the dust and cause us to live again. Give us grace to become what you have destined us to be. And give us strength, oh God, to resist the gates of hell, because you've told us that hell could not hold its captives when your church is moving forward. Can these bones live? It's a constant thought in my heart. It's a constant prayer in my life now. I see your faces at this altar. I shake your hands at the door on Sunday night. And it's a constant thought that never goes away. For I know that many will not make it without a visitation of God. Many, many don't have the strength just to get through a day, let alone to finish the journey in a way that honors Christ. God, you know what you've determined to do. And I feel in my heart that the Lord has spoken something to me similar to what he spoke to Ezekiel. I'm not going to try to convince you of it. God's Holy Spirit has to bear witness. And if you don't bear witness, then don't believe what I'm about to say. But God spoke to Ezekiel and said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear God's word that is able to give you life. Hear the word of God that is able to open every prison door, set every captive free, heal every wounded and bruised heart, give sight to every blinded eye, open the treasure of heaven to those who know they are living in the midst of personal poverty when it comes to spiritual things. Hear the word of the Lord. And so I tell you today, with all that God's put in my heart, hear the word of God to you, that if you have an open heart, if you want to live, if you want to serve him in the manner he's called you, he said, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I'm going to give you a power source that is not your own. I'm going to give you life that is not yours, it's mine. And I'm going to impart it to you, and I'm going to bring you up out of the dust and bring you up out of darkness. And I will put sinews upon you and bring you out and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, Ezekiel said, as I was commanded and as I prophesied. Now, prophecy is just simply agreeing with what God has already said. Not trying to make something up, not trying to make something new, not trying to give the people a false vision of the future, but just speaking what God has already spoken, speaking it with renewed vigor, renewed strength, renewed faith. I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. In other words, God said they were given strength to stand. They stood. They got up out of their seats. They got up out of their poverty. They got up out of their hopelessness, and they stood again. God said, if you will agree with me, the first thing I will do is give you the strength to stand. I'll give you strength you've never had before. If you agree, the first thing that will happen is that you will realize that you have strength you never knew you had before. And then in verse 7, it says, faith begins to enter the hearts of God's people as they hear themselves being called back to divine purpose. And that's really the key. You have to hear yourself being called to divine purpose. It's the person that says, Lord, I'm not coming into this house today to look to get you to agree with my plan, but I'm bending my knee and I'm standing up in the strength of my God and saying, Lord, I don't know what it is, but whatever your will for my life is, that's what I want from this day forward. I want the will of God. I believe that's why many are getting out of their seats now. I believe that's why these altars are getting filled. I believe that's why we're short of space, even in this house on Sunday, many times. Because people are coming in, they're saying, I'm just tired of being dry around some altar somewhere. I want life. I want the life that God has for me. I want the purpose that God has for me. So they came together, just like you are this morning. And there are many here. If I asked you to stand, you would. If I asked you to say, are you in agreement that God's purpose for your life is the purpose that you should live for? That God's plan is the one you should follow? Would you agree that turning away from self and turning to God and his purpose in the earth, the purpose of Christ in the redemption of the lost, is where life really is? As Jesus said, whoever seeks to gain his life will lose it. Whoever is willing to lose his life, that means his purpose, his own plan, for my sake, will find it. I believe that many would stand, maybe most, and say, Pastor, I feel it's true. I feel this inner calling of God to something deeper than my own plans, my own satisfaction, my own self-will. I feel that God's calling me to something deeper. And in your heart, you're already standing on your feet. Now the Lord says, Ezekiel says, I looked and the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And that word breath, it's the very same thing that when God created Adam out of the dust and he made him in the image of himself and the image of man, of course, and Scripture says he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. It's the breath of God. It's that which only the Holy Spirit can produce. It can't come by human effort. It can't come by knowledge, by learning. As good as those things are, there's nothing of human effort that can produce this. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. In other words, call out to the Holy Spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Prophesy, call out to the Holy Spirit, call out to divine life, call out to the breath of God, call out to God to do in you what only he can do. Call out for the new heart. Call out for a new mind. Call out for a new spirit. Call out for new giftings. Call out for new strength. Call out for new words. Call out for everything new to be formed inside of you, then emanated through you. Call out for new courage if you found yourself in cowardice, unable to even open your mouth in this generation. Call out to the Holy Spirit. He said, so I did. And breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I called out, and God came, and God breathed, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves and brought you up from your graves. I'll put my spirit in you and you shall live and place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you out of every place of death. I'm going to bring you out of where death has reigned. I'm going to bring you out of a place where your testimony of your life has been obscured for whatever reason it was allowed to be made so. And I'm going to breathe upon you again. And you're going to learn how to pray. You're going to learn how to call out. You're going to learn how to stand. You're going to learn how to speak the way God does. Just as the 120 in the upper room went in, impoverished, broken, failed, but they went in. The altars that they had created in their own hearts and minds had died, and they knew they were dead men and women around. Whatever kind of worship they had failed them. They had never fully understood the purpose of God. Every man thought and every woman thought they did, and they thought they could kind of usher Jesus into fulfilling it. But when he didn't fulfill it their way, and they ran in cowardice and denied him, Suddenly, they were just in a heap at the altars of their own making. But they did the very same thing that Ezekiel had told the people of a previous generation to do, begin to call out to the breath of God. And I feel like I've been in that room in my spirit. Oh God, I can hear them in my heart because I've been there myself. Give me your Holy Spirit, oh God. I can't stand without your Holy Spirit. I can't understand the word without your Holy Spirit. I can't speak the way I should without your Holy Spirit. No miracles will abound without your Holy Spirit. I can't see without your Holy Spirit. I can't have confidence without your Holy Spirit. And so I speak to the north and the south and the east and the west. Oh God, breathe upon me, Holy Spirit. Breathe into these dead bones, oh God, and give me life. Give me the power that you promised to those who belong to you, that my voice may make a difference, my life may make a difference. Give me the ability to stand and be the blessing that I'm supposed to be. Give me the power to stand before the gates of hell and command them to open and release their captives. God Almighty, make me a testimony in my neighborhood, in my family, among my community, and everywhere I go. Let my life be a testimony of who you are and what you are able to do. God Almighty. If I'm a student, you should cry out, God, in my classroom, in my college, make me a voice that has to be reasoned with. Give me wisdom that nobody can stand against. Let your Holy Spirit animate me and speak through me, not for my sake, oh God, but for their sakes who are being taken captive by the devil at his will. God, give me strength. God, give me strength. God, give me strength. That can only come from you. Let my life count for you and for your glory and for your honor. Bring me out of every place of death. Bring me out, oh God, of everything that has attached itself to my life that's of death, that's taking away your life and the testimony of who you are. I want to live and not die, oh God. I want to live in this generation. Hallelujah. Let your church live, oh God. Let your church live. Let your people live in this generation, oh God. We made a terrible mistake in America. We got tired of being laughed at. We got tired of being called holy rollers. We got tired of being mocked, and we wanted to go uptown. We didn't want to live on the wrong side of the tracks anymore. We wanted to go uptown. We wanted to be called teacher, teacher, rabbi, rabbi. We wanted certificates on our wall. We wanted to be considered smart by a perishing society. In fact, what we wanted is the praise of men more than the praise of God. And so we got all our smart people now running our churches. And our whole country is going to hell in a handbasket. I'd rather be called a holy roller. I'd rather be laughed at. I'd rather be mocked and have the power of God upon my life. When they stepped out of that upper room, the mockers were there to greet them, saying, "These men are drunk in doing these things." But this was the army of God. This was a mighty army that was about to bring down the power of Rome. Even Constantine was going to bend his knee to his vision, at least, of Christianity. Through these 120 God-gripped believers. And I believe with all my heart, the glory of the latter temple is greater than the former. I believe that with everything inside of me. Praise be to God. This nation cannot be allowed to die in its sin when you and I are still here. We must call out now to the Holy Spirit. We must say, God, may I be considered a fool. I don't care anymore. As long as people find you as Lord and Savior, as long as they come. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Who is willing? Who's willing to hear about God's purpose for your life? Who's willing to stand in agreement with it and with fellow believers in the house of God? Who's willing to step out of obscurity? Who's willing to leave dry altars? Who's willing to start praying again? Who's willing to start believing God? Who's willing to say, just as Isaiah did, felt undone, felt unworthy, felt like he was, if God should mark his iniquities, he was doomed. But he heard the voice of God saying, who will go for us and who shall we send? And even in his poverty, he reached out and said, here am I, send me, I'll go. Who's willing to unashamedly call upon the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your enablement. I need your strength. I need your power. I need whatever that looks like in whatever way you choose to do that. But, oh, God, I need your spirit. I can't live without your breath. I can't live without you living inside of me. So the question is, who is willing? Who is willing to give their all for the one who went to a cross that people shouldn't have to perish? Who's willing to follow the one who was laughed at, mocked, called the son of the devil? Who is willing to follow the one that this world called a madman, a lunatic, a false prophet? Who is willing to stand up and say, I'm packing my bags and I'm going back to the wrong side of the tracks again, because that's where the glory of God always has been. I'm going to stand at the right hand of the poor where Christ is. Who is willing? I am too. Oh, praise be to God. I'm going to give an altar call this time. And that's the altar call. Here in the main sanctuary, the annex, North Jersey, and over 600 fellowships at home and in communities. Who is willing? It's interesting that they stood in Ezekiel 37 and God did all the rest. And he even gave them the power to stand. But he did the rest. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for being alive at this moment in history. I thank you that you're calling your church back to yourself again. I thank you, Lord, that you're calling every church everywhere, all people, all denominations, back to yourself. You're calling us to recognize our condition and to stand up again and call out to you, Lord. So, Lord, we're not ashamed to be numbered among those that have gone before us. We're not ashamed to be called your disciples. We're not ashamed to do things the way you have always done them throughout history. We're not ashamed to open our mouths and prophesy the way you give us your word. We're not ashamed to be called fools by this world. God Almighty, glorify your name again and do it through us as your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. If you're willing, we're going to stand. I'm just going to ask you to join with me here at the front. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to call out to the Holy Spirit, as Ezekiel did. Just slip out of your seat, the balcony, go to either exit, the main sanctuary as well, and just make your way down. We'll worship for about 10 minutes. And then we're going to pray. And you can start calling out now. You don't have to wait. Just call out for the Holy Spirit. Just call out. Call to the four winds like Ezekiel did. Say, God, fill me, Almighty God, with your Holy Spirit. Give me strength to be a blessing. God's plan for the nations never changes. It's always been a spirit-filled people, abandoned to his purpose for their lives, yours and mine. Spirit-filled churches abandoned to God's purpose for them as a congregation. People are simply unwilling to live in less than their inheritance in Christ. Unwilling to end up at heaven's throne one day with an empty basket, having won little or nothing for the kingdom of God. Simply unwilling to be fruitless. People are willing to be called fools by this world that's going to die in its foolishness. It's an incredible fellowship he calls us into. One time I was at a meeting in Ireland at Summer Fire, Pastor William Carroll was preaching, and I felt an incredible drawing to the altar. And I went to the altar, and he gave me a picture, and I was on my hands and knees and being vilified by a lot of people wearing ecclesiastical robes for something that God was about to do. And he asked me, he said, "Are you willing to be considered a fool for the sake of my kingdom, for my people, for the sake of the lost?" It's not something any of us can say easily yes to, because there's something inside of us that doesn't want to go that route. But so be it. I cast my lot in with Christ. I don't expect any better treatment than he got. But by God's grace, he took me with him, and I'm going to take a lot more with me as well. Praise God. So lift your hands and just call out for the Holy Spirit. Unashamedly, in the balcony, the sanctuary. Just call out to God. Call out to God. Say, "God, I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. Forgive me. Forgive us for trying to advance a kingdom we can't even see. It has to be you, Lord, inside of us. God Almighty, I ask you for a mighty, mighty outpouring of your Spirit, God. Not just here in this church, but all throughout the nation. In our streets, in our colleges, our homes, our schools. God, even where the children are. A mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would call us back to yourself in a sweep of mercy. Even if this is the final moments of this nation, God, you know that, Lord. But you're merciful, Lord, and we can call out to you for mercy. We know who you are. We know your character. We know why you went to a cross. You said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." Your heart was forgiveness. And so, Lord, forgive us, God, for how we have obscured, as your people, your testimony in the earth. Guide us, lead us, Lord, back to the place of power. Make us willing, Lord, as Paul was, to be counted a fool for the sake of Christ, that your wisdom may rest upon him. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us from head to toe. Give us the words, Lord, that you give us, God, when we are filled with your Spirit. Cause us, Lord, to prophesy. Cause us, my God. Cause us to be bold in our faith because of your life being lived out inside of us. Make us fruit bearers, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, help us to be unashamed, Lord, even in your house to call out to you, knowing we need you, Lord. Without you, we don't have the power, we don't have the strength. God, I pray for people who come to these altars in this church, Lord. We ask you, Father, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them strength. Give them vision. Give them power to live, Lord. They can't live without you. They can't serve you, Lord, without your power. We are powerless, Lord, to do anything without you. God, we're not afraid. We're not afraid to be identified as your people. We're not ashamed, Lord God, to let you operate in our midst and do what you want to do among your people and in your house. God Almighty, I ask you for a fresh infilling for my life, Lord. Touch me again, oh Holy Spirit of the living God. Shake the place where I am and touch my heart, my mind, my life again. Invigorate me. Give me strength, oh God. God, I pray, Lord, for a fresh passion for your work, for your word, Lord, for prayer, for your people, God, for the lost, Lord. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, we need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord. We're not ashamed to call out to you. We're not afraid to declare our bankruptcy, Lord, that you might become all in us. Oh, God, have mercy on this moment in time. Have mercy on your house. Have mercy on your people, oh God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.